I love the way they bring messages to you. That's gospel blues man Lurie Bell with Don't Let the Devil Ride. The song was actually written by another giant in the gospel blues business, Reverend Gary Davis. And Lurie Bell made the song part of his 2012 album, The Devil Ain't Got No Music. Well, there you go. It's said, the devil ain't got no music. Well, there you go. This is Lead Stories. I'm Retrieve Lead, and I don't even know what to call this period of life that we are in, except that it is extremely depressing. And you wonder, why do we get into these jams? How is it that they happen? And how do we get out of them? Well, first thing is to figure out how we got into them. While the coronavirus rages on in the United States and much of the world, our attention is drawn to the statistics as if that alone tells us all we need to know. As with most pandemics, whatever information the people get is highly managed, just the same, so as to shape behavior and to order our ways of operating. If the obvious message here is when a government is in a position to shape behavior, they therefore shape reality. And some of you may be asking, well, wait a minute, aren't we in the middle of a pandemic? Well, that's what is said. More than 8,387,799 cases have been diagnosed in the United States so far. More than 224,732 people have died, and more than 5,457,912 people are said to have recovered from the coronavirus. Now, that's just what they said, but those numbers paint a particular picture. We don't walk around with these numbers in our heads, so we're not as aware of the situation as they want us to be. But make no mistake, this government is very much aware, and governments all over the world are very much aware of the colossal impact the coronavirus has had. Now, we still don't know, and I don't want to be a conspiracy theorist here, we still don't know whether there is a thing called the coronavirus. We know that a disease started striking people dead, started spreading like crazy. We didn't know what it was. Then they put a name to it called the coronavirus. And then more people and more people started dying. And then they started calling it a pandemic. And it's a very important word, a very significant word, of Greek derivation, actually, pan meaning all. That's what pan means, all. And the demic part comes from the Greek word demos, meaning people, all the people. So this they basically lumped it all together and said, this is no ordinary disease. This is a disease that's killing all the people. It's a very serious and dangerous disease. But that's all we know. And that is not sufficient. That's not sufficient. That's not the way you deal with adults. That's not the way you deal with grown people. And you just simply tell them, look, it's a very serious disease. Here, take this and go see a doctor and, you know, take your meds or whatever it is that they're telling people to do. But they haven't undergone, the patients that is, they haven't undergone a serious and rigorous treatment and education about what this disease is. And we have to start asking these kinds of questions. We have to push for answers, specific answers. Don't tell me and write it off, it's the coronavirus. Well, that's good for you. What should it mean to the people, those who are dying, those who have already died, those who are suffering, and even those trying to recuperate from this disease? We have no information about it. All we know is that it's a very dangerous disease, and because of it, we have to behave differently. Again, that word behave. The government tells us how to behave in a scenario like this so as to avoid even more death, more widespread death. Although we essentially don't know much, we came to know about this disease when, in a very crude way, Donald Trump said that the disease originated in Wuhan, China. And that's why he called it very disparagingly the China virus. What a terrible thing to say. What a terrible thing to call it. Diseases happen all over the world, all the time. But of course, being the racist that he is, he had to inject a little bit of racism there to let us know that the cause of the disease was China. Why? Because supposedly, these are all stories we are told to shape our thinking. We have no proof of any of this. Even now, we have no proof of anything. We're just told things. Supposedly, the virus was born in a lab, and somehow or other, the virus escaped. And thus was born the contagion. And from there, it spread all over the world. We are supposed to believe this. Again, no proof. Nobody's explaining exactly what this is, how it came about, how it raged so quickly all over the world, killing millions of people. But if you're an American, you need not fear. As bad as it is, and it is bad, we're doing much better than everybody else. That's supposed to be consolation. But to this date, we have no definitive explanation that any adult would expect to have about a disease this serious and devastating. All we have are those things that we are supposed to do, that we are told to do, to stave off a full onslaught. We do not question. We do not ask what the heck is going on here. We do not demand proof. We are not offered proof of anything. And we get missives from time to time. Well, you should do this. You should wear a mask. You should not go any place that is packed, like an auditorium or someplace where people are very close together. Avoid those situations. There are lots of things you're not supposed to do. Economies all over the world have been basically demolished. Not because they're given information about anything, they're just told what to do. Like I said, we are given instructions as to how we behave. That is not an answer to what is happening. That doesn't tell us anything about what is happening. And from time to time, our behaviors are amended. We may do this now, but we can't do it perhaps tomorrow. We weren't able to do it before, but we can do it now. And this is how they're dealing with grown folks all over the world. We are told how to behave. We're not told, we're not educated about the virus at all. Just these are the things we expect you to do, and you will do these things. Why? Because we even made it law. We've made these things the law. You can go to jail. You could be charged with a crime if you don't behave and do what we tell you to do. Now, it used to be said that these are the kinds of tyrannical orders the people would be given in fascistic countries, where there is no room for thought. There's no room to ask questions. There are laws that are arbitrarily made and arbitrarily enforced. But it's for your own good and my own good. And so if we have any common sense at all, we just obey the law. But not everybody's abiding by that. I'll give you an example. Just yesterday in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, the Grand Rebbe of the Satmar Jewish sect I don't know if I just heard a beep. Okay. Am I okay? Okay. Just had announced his granddaughter is getting married. And there's going to be a wedding. The wedding, however, is going to be held at an armory, because there's no place big enough to hold the 10,000 guests who are expected to attend. Well, we had been issued orders. No more than 50 people in any particular group. That's the law. He's expecting 10,000 people at his granddaughter's wedding. And the wedding will be held with everybody packed into an armory nearby. So there are people who follow the law, and there are people who have an entirely different attitude toward the law, a whole different relationship to what we call the law. They make their own laws. I'm curious to see how it will all turn out. Will the wedding be canceled? Will the state prevail over people's desires to proceed with a wedding? Did the rabbi break the law? Does he know about this law? But only up to 50 people can gather together at any one time, and there has to be proper distancing and all the other stuff that goes along with it. The point I'm making is this. Even in a situation like this, they're still pulling the wool over our eyes. You either have rules or you don't have rules. And we should know what these rules are and how they came to be and why they exist. But we have not yet been told about this dreadful contagion that we're all living with. We're only told how to behave. That is enough. Obey these rules and you'll be all right. And so it goes a little deeper than that, a lot deeper, as a matter of fact, because now we have the matter of what are people to believe? What is actually true? How do we know that what you are saying is true, in fact, is true? Why should we submit to your so-called rules and laws when you haven't explained what this is? What is this? You can't just say, well, it's a virus, and that's the end of that. We deserve to know what it is that we're dealing with. How are we to have 100% faith that you know what you're doing, but we don't? You're in a position of imposing all kinds of curtailments in our lives. And we still don't know whether you know what the heck you're talking about. And why is it that nobody is explaining the nitty-gritty here? We're talking coronavirus, coronavirus, coronavirus. Okay, but what is it? And how come there are certain dynamics that we see already that should cause anybody running a country or running any kind of government should give them pause? How is it that this virus is doing more damage in certain communities than it is in other communities? Why are more Black people dying of coronavirus than practically any other ethnic group, Latinos as well? Is this a virus with a particular kind of intelligence to discern who next to infect? This is a rather intelligent virus, isn't it? That is disturbing. A virus is a virus, but it is not attacking everybody. This is not an equal opportunity virus. This is a special requisitioned virus. It is seeking certain people out, killing them off, wreaking havoc in their communities. The help that should have been available to these communities on a preventive basis was never there. But people were very happy on television to show us endless lines and streams of coffins being pulled out of buildings and then loaded onto refrigerated trucks in the case of New York City because there was no room in the morgue. And funeral directors had no place to put the dead. And the graveyards were filled. But you had all these Black and Latino people there, and they're dead. And that is how they chose to give the message about how dangerous this coronavirus is. When we are worrying about, look at how you're treating people. You're piling them one on top of the other on refrigerated trucks in parking lots. And you're telling us you're treating a virus. And not all communities are experiencing this horror. You see, I look at these things and they tell me there's something wrong here. And we need answers and we need them now. The kinds of help that should have been marshaled and made available to these already distressed communities never materialized. And that's because the going concern or the going attitude is these are not real people. So you can stash them up one on top of the other and put them in a refrigerated truck in the parking lot. We have a lot of questions to ask and to be answered about this coronavirus. Because I'm not sure we have gotten and still are getting the kinds of information that the people need to have. And I think it's wrong. How much longer are we going to go without answers, without explanation? Yes, there's Dr. Fauci. Dr. Fauci shows up behind the microphone and he tells us what to do. In other words, how to behave. That's the main obsession here. get the people to behave. You don't have to give them information. You don't have to explain the gory details of what this is, whatever it is. You don't owe them any details. But they must behave to make things easier. And when people do not behave, and again, it falls along racial lines. It's the blacks and the Latinos who don't know how to behave, and they're dying. And their families don't know how to behave, and they're demanding questions. They're demanding answers to their questions, I should say. And we are all coasting along. Nobody's asking the right questions. Nobody's demanding answers. But we are all instructed as to how we should behave. We have to reject that. I'm sorry to say, it's time, more than time. We have to reject that. That is not what our people are entitled to. Answers must be had. What does the government know that it refuses to tell us? How is it that you can have a pandemic and nobody knows what the hell is happening? And all these months have gone by. And you're using it for all kinds of reasons to work out your political, geopolitical problems with China. But nobody has definitive answers about anything. It seems to me when more than 8 million people just in the United States alone have been supposedly diagnosed with the virus, when more than 224,000 people have died, when more than 5 million people are said to have recovered, but we don't know what the hell this is. All we know is that we have instructions and they are amended every so often because a lot depends on managing our behavior toward this pandemic. That is what they're more interested in, rather than coming clean with us and telling us what the truth is. Just behave, they say. These are the latest instructions we have for you. Jump up and down 18 times in the morning and take your medicine at night, and you'll be all right. Because you're dealing with the virus. We have no idea what we're dealing with. And they're not too hurried to tell us. I'll take this break and come back to your thoughts, your comments, right after this at 888-874-4888. You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm Eutrice Lead. And we're talking about how well behaved we have been since we were informed that the country is experiencing a pandemic. not just the United States, but they call it a pandemic because it's all over the world. Now, if only they can get us all to behave and do exactly what they tell us, we'll be much better off. But we're not behaving. And I want to know why we're not behaving. And I want to know why we should be behaving, especially when we are totally ignorant about what this pandemic is. Ed from Jamaica, you're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon, Utrice. How you doing?
Okay, Ed. How are you?
Me and my thumbs. You know the drill.
Doing your thumbs.
I am so glad that you raised this point. A couple of things. Number one, I always like to qualify my statements with the research that I do. And I suggest that two things people should look at. There's an author. Her name is Judy Moskowitz. And she has written a book, 10 Reasons Why You Should Not Wear a Mask. And these reasons are cogent. She was one of the key physicians. She has a PhD. She was one of the key physicians at the World Health Organization until she resigned because of the practices she saw there. But her name is Judy Moskowitz. You can order the book on Amazon. It's very interesting. And there's an interview by Michelle Chesarovsky. Plandemic. He was on a show called Guns and Butter. You can get the transcript, read the transcript, and take a look at it. This thing is a plandemic, and it's in a line of several things that are being done to regulate and control the population. How does a disease transmit? Usually by droplets, usually from people who are symptomatic. This is the only pandemic that you can be showing no symptoms but still transmit the disease. How is that possible? It defies the laws of virological physics, number one. Number two, we are oxygen hogs. We only have 20% of the atmosphere is oxygen. 97% is nitrogen, and the rest is mixed gases. Our bodies need oxygen to survive. If your oxygen level falls below 93%, which mine has, because I had pneumonia at one time, you can't move. You can't breathe. You can't even walk. They won't let you out of the hospital. And they're telling you to put on a mask and restrict your oxygen flow. That does nothing for your immune system, and it does nothing to make you to make you better. From the time I was a child with my grandmother, when you got sick, after a while, she opened up the window. She let the sunshine in, let the air get in, let's air out this place so your body's natural immune system can interact with the oxygen in the air that we breathe in the sunlight, vitamin D, and rectify yourself. So there are a lot of questionable things with this virus. There are a lot of questionable things with this pandemic. One thing from Michelle Chesarovsky's report, he said that in January, outside of Wuhan, China, there were only 150 people in the world that were quote-unquote COVID-19 positive. And the World Health Organization has never called a global pandemic with that limited amount of the world's population exposed to any type of pathogen. So there are a lot of questionable things here. And I personally believe it's about an economic reset. It's about societal control. It's about turning us into, for want of a better word, sheeple, and getting us to do as we're told to prevent chaos in the upcoming economic collapse that this country is going to be faced with in the immediate future.
All right. You got us started. Thank you for your input today. Gwen from New York, you're on the air.
Hi, Utrice. Okay, so
hello,
I often... Hello, how are you?
Okay.
I also listened to Michelle Travorowski. I thought he was great. And I also listened to Judy, who she's the one who wrote the book Plandemic. I think that's the book she wrote. And I think they both have credibility. But, you know, I live in Manhattan like everybody, probably, or, you know, in New York. I'm in Cape May now, but that's where my home is. And I kept walking up. I live near Mount Sinai, so I started walking up every day to Mount Sinai to just like really see what was going on. Like, are bodies really coming in and out, or are the ambulances, you know, really bringing people in? And, you know, I stood there, and there really were people in these ambulances that were being taken into the hospital. And so I thought, okay, well, they're, you know, okay, then they're not totally lying about this. But, you know, I think that at least in my neighborhood, people are following the rules. They are wearing their masks. They are doing what they can do to prevent it. Because here's what I have come to believe, that whether this is something that was man-made and put out there in the environment for people to get sick, it does exist. And so whether it's been created or not, I don't want to get it. And my little baby niece, who's only, she's a preemie, she just got it. She's just turned a year old, and now she has this disease. And so when I talked to people in my inner circle, I kept meeting people that were getting it. Most of the people that I would talk to were in their 70s. They got it. Some people died from it. A lot of Black people that I talked to, they got it. They got family members who had it. There was like real people that they could see, they got it. So it didn't look to me, I mean, I keep looking around, and I didn't really see a lot of white people getting it and dying from it. But when I talked to my Black friends, there was a lot of people that were dying from it, and Puerto Rican people too. So it looked like it was the kind of disease that was made to destroy certain people. And for me, I think you should not be a fool and just ask for it. I mean, if somebody, you know, has put a bullseye on your back, I wouldn't give them what they want and not wear a mask. I think a mask is like a tiny little thing to do. I don't think it's taking, I mean, as a matter of fact, it's almost embarrassing to me that people on the left are losing their minds over wearing a freaking mask. And so are the people on the right. They're so silly. It's a mask. It's not like somebody came out and told you, you know, to stick yourself in the arm with 1,000 needles or anything like that. I mean, when there is a vaccine that comes out, I will not be taking it. I do not trust these vaccines, and I will not take that. But I will wear a mask. I don't wear a mask when I'm going to the park and walking by myself. I socially distance. But if I'm going to be in a group of people, I wear a mask. My parents are 98 and 94 years old. Do I think somebody has the right to come to, you know, my house and not wear a mask and give my parents that disease? They have an X on their back. They're one of the people. They're one of the groups that are very vulnerable. They could die if somebody younger gave it to them.
Do you believe, Gwen, that all this time has gone by and we've all seen the reports and read the reports, and you know, we know something terrible is happening, claiming lives all over the world. Are you satisfied that we know what this is?
I'm not satisfied that we're being told what it is. I think there are a lot of people, especially in this audience, that pretty much know what it is. We know that what I've heard from scientists said it actually originated in a lab in China, but it was actually the Americans who paid for this to be produced, because during the Obama administration, we wouldn't allow these viruses to be manufactured anymore in America. So, you know, this is what we did. We took it over to China and said, here's $3.7 million. You make it. And I believe that it was Anthony Fauci who was one of the players who was a part of the deal, the money, the deal to get it made. Now, whether it got out of the lab accidentally, or whether it was, you know, set out of the lab on purpose, I don't know that. But I'm pretty sure that this is not something that is organic. But,
I want to move on, though, because we have so many people wanting to call. Thank you. Thank you very much. Lincoln Brown, you're on the air.
Hi, you, Trees. How are you?
Okay. What are your thoughts?
Several. Well, you know, the books that Ed mentioned, I mentioned those people, Judy Moskovitz, etc., about 4 months ago on this very program when it first started, because many of us did not believe this, and we were doing research, especially a brother by the name of Dr. T. West of Afrosynergy. Whenever we spoke about this, people would say, oh, it's your conspiracy theories. And there was, that's even one of the reasons why that African doctor was trying to be, they were trying to demonize her and make her look like she was some spook, some voodoo doctor, when it's not true. I want to point out this to everyone here. In 2017, up to last night, I shared it again on Facebook. In 2017, Dr. Fauci, in a speech, and you could look it up, he said this categorically. During the Trump administration, there will be a surprise epidemic. This was in 2017. He didn't say it's a possibility. He said it was he actually said Trump will be hit by a surprise epidemic, a surprise disease. And this was also part of the coup plot against Donald Trump. Donald Trump himself is being misled by his so-called advisors, and him calling it the China virus because he himself doesn't know what he's talking about in references, because they have tricked him. And
well, he's talking about the China virus because he's a racist.
No, it's because they told him that it came from China. It didn't come
that
from
that identity to disease. Everybody knows that when you, in situations where a major health outbreak occurs, they don't use an ethnicity attached to it and say, well, it is the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant virus, or the Italian virus, or the black virus. It's a virus. But his insistence on calling it the Wuhan virus or the China virus, he says that for specifically racist meanings.
Well, this disease was created in 2015. It's the same disease that was called SARS-2, and it was created in Chapel Hill. And one of the doctors involved, along with Fauci, was a doctor named Dr. Barrett. And during the Obama administration, they put a moratorium on it, and then they took it to China, and they did what they call a gain of function. Gain of function means to make it stronger.
But when this president speaks of it, he references ethnicity in order.
Yeah, but I am not so. I mention him saying
you disagree,
that. That's not my
so
main
you disagree,
concern.
But that's my position.
My main concern about this, though,
several times, and he insists on calling it the China virus because he is working out his own problems with Xi Jinping and the Chinese economy that is growing by leaps and bounds. He has major problems with China. So this is one of his ways of denigrating China.
Yeah, but my main concern is not really, I just mentioned that, but that, I didn't mention that for that to be the predominating theme. I'm saying this is a pandemic, and a part of it is it's part of the coup against Trump. It's also part of the plan to put this chip in us, which was which Revelations explained. It's a big thing.
Hold on, because I'm listening to you, and I could tell that you're off.
Bill Gates
started talking about the fact that ways in which this pandemic has not been treated logically, from just a plain logical point of view. We do not have answers. We only have instructions as to how we are to behave. And it seems to me that there ought to be more than that.
Plan to create chaos. And it was also to, like those bodies in the trucks you saw, that was all to create fear within the people. It was fear-mongering. As Bill Gates said in one of his interviews, he said he wants the 7.5 billion people in the world to be vaccinated. This is a big thing.
Yes, but you off again. You have to stay with me here so that we don't go off in all these different directions. The bodies that were in the backs of those trucks that were in parking lots were because all the morgues were filled. There was no room.
Yeah, but I'm saying, yeah, but there was. It was also staged too, because they wanted to people to be afraid. They want us to hunker down with these masks, etc. They want us to accept this vaccination when it comes without thinking. I'm telling you, it's all a big plan. This has been going on. This has been planned. Why do you think Fauci in 2017 said there is going to be an epidemic in this administration?
We don't know why people say anything, and you can't try to explain it that you knew
he said what was in his mind
4 years ago, or how many years ago. We don't know. So let's not extend into boundaries that we have no definitive proof about. It is enough that we're raising the question today as to this amount of time having elapsed.
Okay, I'll give you good advice. Try to get this guy, Dr. T. West, on your show and interview him. And that will clarify a lot of your misconceptions and a lot of what we don't know.
You don't know what I have. What my misconceptions are. I didn't say
based on what you're saying. I think and based on what I'm putting forth and you're trying to rebut, I don't think you understand the ramifications of all what's going on. That this is part of the one world government intention.
Okay, I say thank you. And we'll move on. Jerry from New York, you're on the air.
Hi, Yatrice, how are you?
Okay.
In regards to I just want to say a couple of things. I can stay on the line and you can talk back to me. But the naming of the virus, this is the way they've always done it. It's named from where it originates from. Spanish flu, there's hundreds of examples. It came from out of Wuhan. That's why it's called that virus. And in terms of what Lincoln, he just brought up some other facts. There is a chain of following. Gates, Fauci, they all predicted this. And it comes down to greed. They don't care who they kill, but it comes down to they'll make money off of vaccines and medications. There's a lot of deception going on. For me, and the rabbi's wedding, daughter's wedding, was supposedly canceled in New York because they were breaking the rules. It just seems like everything that's going on with Hunter Biden, we choose to talk about this today, but I just think it's because you want to blame Trump. You don't want to hear what Lincoln has to say. You really don't want to hear what other people have to say.
Oh, please. Listen. I happen to be excellent at listening. Mm-hmm. Excellent at it. I don't mean to just praise myself. I spent a long time. I listen very intently to what people have to say. Mm-hmm. I also hosting this show. And every show ought to have a purpose. You stick to it and you don't let people decide to come on and grab the focus and take it wherever it is they want to take it. That's not how shows are done. Not the way I do shows. We follow a theme, and another time maybe that would be the theme. But not today. Today I talked about the fact that our behavior, there's a great emphasis not on giving us information, but on shaping and controlling our behavior. And that alone should raise enough questions in our minds. Now, I have many theories. And I know many people with many theories, but that's not for today. That's another show.
No, I understand. I mean, a lot of people are questioning, why are all these rules in place? Why are we following them to the extent we are? But if you don't, there's repercussions, people getting beat up, shouted out about it. There has been a theme by the media to create this hysteria. And I feel bad because people are so stressed and anxious over this. And definitely listen to Gary Knoll is a phenomenal thing because he sets it straight. He empowers people to build up their immune system, and he gets to the bottom of the truth, which really, really can help a lot of people, because mainstream media is just preaching one thing, and it's the hate Trump, it's all Trump's fault, but it's not.
Well, but we also need to keep our eyes on how things are done so as to arrive at a long thought out ending or purpose. Things may look disjointed, but they're not. They're taking us through the paces, knowing full well what they intend the ending to be, the result to be. And very often we miss it. Thanks, Jerry, for your call. Sonia from the Bronx, you're on the air.
Hi, Trace. This is kind of along the lines of Trump throwing paper towels at the Puerto Ricans after Hurricane Maria. But on a much, much larger scale, we have to do our own research. Gary Knoll provides research every single day. There's research on YouTube that you could look at. Dr. Mobeen Syed does research, very important research. Dr. Chris Martinson does research. The information to protect ourselves is out there. We have to look for it, and we have to be responsible about using it and using our time appropriately. These people have no interest in our health. They can't provide us with clean water, clean air, or clean food. How the hell are they going to protect us against a so-called pandemic? That's my question.
Well, that isn't the question I asked. It's a very important question. But the question I asked is, are we aware, do we continue to be aware that we are being controlled to behave in predictable ways because there is something afoot that needs to be explained with respect to the coronavirus, but they are not going to explain it now, or ever, maybe. But
right.
We should
be aware. As long as we don't allow ourselves to be distracted by protests and by, you know, what Trump tweets, these are all distractions. There is a bigger issue going on in our country, and it is about our freedom and our well-being and our happiness. Stop allowing ourselves to be distracted. Focus on what is your priority. We have to prioritize. In the midst of so much chaos, we have to learn to prioritize how we use our time and what is the most important thing to draw our attention and energy towards. All I hear is people saying, Trump tweeted this, Trump tweeted that, and I don't care. This is a systemic problem. Whoever becomes president, it doesn't matter. The problem will persist long after this presidential election. We have to wise up and become serious about our democracy. And I don't see that happening. I just hear a lot of banter and gossip and innuendos and repeat tweets. And I'm so sick of it. We can't have an intelligent conversation about anything anymore, because we're so horribly distracted. We have no idea where we are, who we are, or what we are doing, or where we are going. We have to focus our energy and our time appropriately, as you do. Clearly you do. But most people don't. Most people do not. And that's why this country is going down the toilet, because we are allowing it to happen. We are allowing ourselves to be manipulated every day, all day.
Thanks, Sonia, for calling in and contributing today. Lee, you're on the air from New York.
Well, Trace, I have to say that I have not allowed all this propaganda to deter me one way or the other. I'm living my life as I normally do. I take a mask with me. If I have to go into a store, I'll put it on as I go in. I remove it when I come out. I'm breathing fresh air. I'm building my resistance the best I can. And I'm just leading a normal life. You know, I look at so many places in the world where they're not waiting on America to come up with a vaccine. They're dealing with the situation.
But that wasn't, I appreciate that, but the thrust of our discussion, at least the way I framed it, was we do not know what this pandemic is. We know only what is required of us in terms of how to react or behave to this so-called pandemic. But we don't know what it is. We have no idea.
Right. So I see no reason to worry about it. I don't worry about it at all. I haven't allowed it to upset me in any way or to interrupt my normal way of living.
Okay. Well, thank you. And that brings us to the end of our program today. Thanks for your opinions. This is really the question, and was supposed to raise thoughts in our minds. What is going on? A long time has elapsed, a long enough time has elapsed that we should have gotten some kind of a further explanation, more in-depth explanation as to what this is and how we are to regard it, how we are to treat it and behave for ourselves. But this is really more and more, it seems it's a government decision to regulate our behavior toward it, and therefore, and thereby, I should say, regulating us. We have to keep our eyes open because we do not know yet what we need to know. Thanks for listening. We join each other again tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat channel. Bye-bye.